You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from Meadowbrook Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, with Pastor Keith Miller.
We're going to spend the next 6 or so weeks in the 23rd Psalm, and here's the thing. I'm going to read it, but here's the thing. The danger of becoming or being so familiar with a passage is that it loses, in terms of our own hearts, it can lose its potency and just our minds being able to just marvel over what is said in this psalm that is true of everyone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And so we're gonna just dive deep into these verses, and my hope is that your hearts will soar as a result. You'll be like, wow, I can't believe that this Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I will not be in need. And so I'm going to read, and you can follow along the 23rd Psalm. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. You may be seated. It's just six verses. Six verses. But oh my goodness, is it loaded with so much goodness for you and for me. I mean, the Bible is. And you know, I say this all the time, this is my favorite passage or this is my favorite verse. But oh my word, what's here should encourage you. We're going to really just camp on the first verse, but I just want to set things up for you. How many of you have ever tried writing a poem? Just curious. I mean, right? It's hard work if you think about it. I mean, there's a lot of energy that has to go into writing a poem. Now, writing a story is one thing. Writing a poem is quite another. Or writing a song, because you want something that rhymes. So in order to do that, you've got to dig deep and find those words that really echo what's going on in your heart. Songs are the language of the heart. And so the Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. Now, we kind of lose just the rhythm that is in the original Hebrew with these Psalms, but they were sung. These were sung. The 23rd Psalm was sung by God's people for generations. They were sung. And so this is Psalm 23, like all the other Psalms, are language from the heart. The thing that sets the Psalms apart from every other song that you have listened to or that you like or that we even sang in church today is that the Psalms, like the 23rd Psalm, is inspired by the God of all creation. They're without error. They're meant to instruct us and to guide us. But it's poetry. It's poetry, and there's beauty here in the metaphors that are used and the language that is used and the descriptions that this is meant to draw our attention to, and the experience of David, who was a shepherd, and all of that. There's beauty here. And so I don't want to miss that. I want you just to think about for a moment, just the 23rd Psalm. Hopefully you have your Bible open, or you have a digital device or something that you're using, or one of the handouts. I mean, you just grab one of these. I got the passage just laid out there. But I just want you to just think about what is said in this psalm about you if the Lord is indeed your shepherd. That he lets me lie down in green pastures. That's away from the wilderness. That's outside of the wilderness. He rescues me from the wilderness. The wilderness is where death is. The wilderness is where the curse is. But the green pastures is where I can have life, where I can find life, where I can be restored. He restores my soul. He does that by leading me to quiet waters, waters that that can be drunk, waters that will satisfy my thirst. He does it for his namesake. He does it for his glory, that he is the center of the universe, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. It's all about him. There's nothing better than him. There's nothing greater than him. He is who he is. He is the Lord. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I face danger, even when I'm on the other side of the planet, even when I'm encountering things that are uncertain, or even when I don't know what the next step is in front of me, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord, who is my shepherd, is with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I got bullied something fierce when I was a kid. And I knew that I was safe if my dad was standing behind me. What this says is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we're gonna dive into each of these verses in the weeks to come, but I just want you to just at least get a taste for what this psalm is saying. I've officiated I don't know how many funerals. The first church I pastored, Northwest Baptist Church, I think in the first year I officiated, 10 funerals. It was a lot. I lost count. But obviously I've officiated more funerals than weddings. And here's the thing. Most of the funerals I officiated were for people who believed in Jesus, who loved Jesus, who followed Jesus. But there were some funerals I officiated that Jesus was not in a part of their life. And those have been challenging funerals that I've had to officiate. But I will say this, that most of the funerals that I've officiated, the 23rd Psalm was somehow or some way included in the memorial service. Whether it was on a memorial card with that person's picture on it, or if it was read during the service, but it was included in the service. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. The 23rd Psalm is associated with that passage that comforts us when we're facing hard stuff. But you know what? The 23rd Psalm is that passage that encourages us about life, the life that we can have in and with the shepherd. But here's the thing. The 23rd Psalm is not for everyone. Our world treats it as though it's for everyone, but it's not for everyone. It's only for some. And here's right out of the gate in the very first verse, the Lord is whose shepherd? My shepherd, or in this case, David. And the reason why David knows that the Lord is his shepherd is because it is in and through the shepherd that he finds that his needs are met. He goes to the shepherd to have his needs met. That he is, I said this last week, he recognizing he's poor in spirit, he goes to the Lord to have his heart and his soul satisfied. That's how you know the Lord is your shepherd, when you recognize that you need him. That you need him. Every moment you need him. And for the one who lives their life all their life as though the shepherd didn't even exist, or was a convenient being to go to when things got a little difficult, the Lord of the 23rd Psalm being their shepherd cannot be said of that person. But it can be said for all those whose hope and trust is in the shepherd, who is the Lord. And so I only have 2 points, and I just want to highlight some things to you. And the first is the Lord. You know, who is the Lord of Psalm 23? Who is this Lord? I talked a little bit about this last week and the week before, I think. But the Lord here, and you know this by now, I believe, that the Lord, capital on all caps, is a reference to the Hebrew name for God, his covenantal name, which is Yahweh. Yahweh. It is the God who keeps his promises. It's the God who's faithful. It's the God it's his most personal name. Every time the Hebrew scribes would copy down the word of God, they would start with a fresh ink and a fresh, pen to write out Yahweh. They were very careful about this. This is his sacred name. And you probably know this, that, and in fact, looking at all of you know this, that the first time that the Hebrew people were introduced to the covenantal name of God being Yahweh, in terms of being recorded, is in Moses' encounter with God through the burning bush. And you remember the story. We're not going to read the passages there, but Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. He was there because he was in hiding. He had killed an Egyptian guard, fled Egypt, and was in hiding, and he was working for his father-in-law Jethro, and that was life for him. And by the time he saw this burning bush in the distance, he was at least 80 years old. And in the wilderness, when things were on fire, they were consumed. But this time, he looked at this bush, and it was not consumed. So he went to go check it out. And as he got closer to the bush, a voice came from the bush, and it was the voice of Yahweh. And he said, "Moses, Moses." And he told Moses to take off his sandals, for the ground that he was standing on was holy ground. And so Moses did that. And then God said to Moses, "I'm going to use you to lead the Hebrew people, my people, out of the bondage of slavery, and you're going to be my mouthpiece, Moses." And this is why I think Moses probably had some kind of speech problem, or he struggled with words, or maybe got real nervous in front of people. We don't know. But what we do know is he said, "Why me?" Well, why do you want to use somebody like me? Clearly you don't want me speaking for you. I can barely get a sentence together. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but Moses really went out of his way to try to get himself out of the situation where he would be speaking on God's behalf. And God said, "Who made the deaf deaf? Who made the mute mute? Who? Yeah, I gave you your tongue, Moses, and I've chosen to use you. And if you're gonna continue to give me a hard time, well, we'll just use Aaron, and he could speak also on your behalf. But you're going, and you're going to represent me." And so Moses did that. But then he asked him, he said, "Well, who shall I, when I go to the Hebrew people, they're going to ask me what God sent me to them. What do I say to them?" And this is what he said. He said, "You tell them I am who I am, sent me to you." And I shared this last week. There was a pastor who said, it would be the equivalent of when God said to Moses, "You tell them I am who I am, sent me to you." To you, when you talk to the Hebrew people, it was the equivalent of God saying, "I be who I be." Meaning, I don't change. I don't change. Now, how many of you in this room have some type of job that you're employed by? You do something. I mean, we have some students here also. There's something that's true of you that is part of your life right now. Maybe you got parents in this room, you got grandparents in this room. There's all kinds of stuff that's true of you, and if you were to, if you were to like fill out an application or fill out some kind of document and that asked you what is your occupation or what do? You would write in that thing that you do. It's part of your identity right now. But the thing is it's going to change one day. What you do right now and what you're known for right now will change. One day, you're not going to be a student. Some of them are like, "Yes." a friend of mine, a pastor at Capital City Church, Pastor Carl, just defended his doctoral dissertation. And we talked over the phone about it. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I remember how that was. For me, it was like 2015 or 2016 is when I graduated. And I remember finishing. I'm like, I am no longer a student. And I told Pastor Carl, I said, "This is why they call a doctoral degree a terminal degree. There's nothing beyond it." But that's changed for me. I'm no longer a student at a seminary. And one day, I will no longer be a pastor. One day, I'm going to die. And it's going to change me. Things change. Seasons in life change. But what does not change is, or who does not change, is Yahweh. His title is forever the same because his character is the same. His person is the same. Who he is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. He is Yahweh. And as Yahweh, he is the creator, meaning he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. That's why, you know, for me, as I've been thinking through just the role of prayer in our lives and in my life, especially, you know, why, you know, asking myself, why is it do I find it so difficult to pray for simple things? When my children were young, they didn't hesitate for asking for simple things. Why do I hesitate to ask my Heavenly Father for simple things when he owns the cattle on a thousand hills? You know how much was raised by these seven young adults who really they didn't really know what they were doing. They're trying to figure it out, like how do we do this thing, and we wanted to get behind them. The total amount that was collected, that was raised, was $25,000. On Friday, somebody came into, I think it was Friday, it was either Thursday or Friday, somebody came into my office with a $1,500 check. I think it was Friday. I don't know what it was. Sometime this week. It all blends together. But God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And as of today, I believe the exact amount that they needed has been raised. And so we have a God that's able to meet our needs. And a year and a half ago, when my son was, you know, sitting at the table, like, as I mentioned, just wondering if it was even possible to go to Uganda, he was able to preach his first sermon. And like, you have stories in your life where you can go back and you can see how God showed up in difficult times and also in simple times. He is Yahweh. He doesn't change. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. And this is the one who is the Lord. He's the Lord of the 23rd Psalm. And if he is your shepherd, he's your Lord as well. Yep. To have Yahweh as your shepherd is to have one who, when he sees you, he treasures you. Now you're all, because we're, you know, we're Bible believing Christians. We're like, yes, I believe the Bible. But do you walk in that reality? Do you live in that reality? Do you stand in that reality? Because some of you may be thinking, you know what, if you just, Pastor Keith, if you just knew my story, if you knew my life, God, I think God's disgusted with me. I had a conversation this week about with somebody who really, who said, yeah, I know I'm saved, I know I'm a Christian, but I don't think God really wants me. And what this 23rd Psalm is telling us is that if Yahweh is your shepherd, then he treasures you. Now, I know it's not the most encouraging compliment to receive when the Bible tells you that you are a sheep, right? I mean, if we know anybody who knows anything about sheep, that's not the most endearing thing. I mean, they're cute, but that's where it stops, right? It's like, they're dumb. And we're called that. But the point is that, I don't know a whole lot about animals, but I'm not sure that sheep are the dumbest things, because at least they know they need help. I think they need help. I think they need help. I've encountered animals that were convinced that they didn't need any help, like rabbits. Or cats. Cats are another one. But at least, like, sheep are helpless, and they'll get themselves in trouble. They need a shepherd, and when there's a shepherd in the midst of them, because that shepherd's been with them, they're familiar with that shepherd. They know what that shepherd looks like. They know his voice, and he's able to guide them. And when one of those sheep wander off, he gets that sheep and he brings them back. And the point of the 23rd Psalm is that, man, if Yahweh is your shepherd, even though your heart is prone to wander, he is faithful. And he's a God who chases after those whom he loves, who he loves. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And the way that you know that he's your shepherd is you recognize that you need him. A lot of people don't recognize that they need the God of all creation to be their shepherd. A lot of people want to be their own shepherd. A lot of people want to have their own God or be their own God. And there are people who will come to the end of their days and there will be a memorial service, and I know this to be true. Everybody gropes at the most memorable thing and most endearing thing about that person to somehow convince themselves, especially somebody who's not religious, to convince themselves that that person is in a better place. And the reality is that person, if they did not have the Lord as their shepherd in their life leading up to their death, then after their death, he certainly is not their shepherd. He is their judge. This psalm is for anyone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's for the redeemed. It's for the redeemed. And it is filled with so much goodness. It is filled with all kinds of goodness, which leads me to the second point, and that is that Jesus is, he's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. David Gibson, in his book, The Lord of Psalm 23, which is the book that really was the catalyst for me to want to preach through the 23rd Psalm, because his book got me to think carefully about the 23rd Psalm in a way that I had not thought about the 23rd Psalm in a long time. And he said this, listen to this, and the words are on the screen. This is what he said. He said, "The one whom you need to shepherd you neither needs you nor needs to be shepherded himself. As he gives himself to shepherd you, he shepherds you from his eternally undiminishing fullness, and he is never the poorer for it." Isn't that good? You cannot exhaust the goodness of God. You cannot exhaust God. Like we get frustrated over stuff. You know why we get frustrated over stuff? We get frustrated because things don't go our way. But God cannot get frustrated. He gets angry over sin, but he doesn't get frustrated. For him to get frustrated would mean that he would have a plan that didn't go the way that he wanted it to go. If that were the case, he would not be God. He doesn't get frustrated. We get frustrated. There were a number of high school students who were, you know, thinking of, or not just high school students, just students in general, who were like, yeah, the week that we had school was great. 70-degree weather, it's awesome, amazing. Oh, I have schoolwork to do. Oh, spring break's coming. It's 33 degrees and we got snow on the ground. Like, that's frustrating to some. One of our missionaries who couldn't make it last week, he was frustrated. He was frustrated. Why? Because he couldn't get on the plane that was supposed to be ready for him to get on so that he can get to his connecting flight and then get to another connecting flight so he can wind up in Cheyenne. It didn't go according to plan. He got frustrated. But the Lord, who is your shepherd, does not get frustrated. He doesn't get frustrated because he is Yahweh. And not only is he Yahweh, but he is Jesus. He is Jesus. How do I know that? Because of what Jesus said of himself and the proof that is his life. Jesus said, let's go to the John chapter 10, verse 14. Let's read this together. Ready? "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus is the good shepherd. There are a number of I am statements in the Gospel of John. There's 7 of them. This is one of them. And he claims to be the good shepherd. This is why people got so angry with Jesus when he would make these kind of claims, because he was equating himself to be equal with Yahweh, which he was. He said, "If any of you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And if you're wondering what the Father looks like, well, after seeing me, then you can claim that you've seen him. And the things that Jesus provides and claimed to provide are the very same things that we see in the 23rd Psalm. Food to satisfy the hungry, water to quench the thirst of the thirsty, security for the vulnerable, rest for the burdened sheep who come to the shepherd out of a desperate awareness that they need him and that all that they need they can find in the life of the shepherd. And so Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So it's just not a one-way street. I know my own, and my own know me. And that's exactly what the very first verse in the 23rd Psalm is saying. The Lord is my shepherd, and he knows me. And when he sees me, he says, that's my treasured possession. And when I see him, I know him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. You think about some of the things that Jesus said about himself. Let's go to the next slide. In John chapter 7, we looked at this last week, but let's read this together. Ready? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You know, if Jesus is your shepherd, you know that he's your shepherd by your continual wanting to go to him to have your soul quenched by the kind of water that only he alone can offer. And then the next one, Matthew chapter 11, you know this one. Let's read it together. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. And he said, come to me. It's almost as if he's saying, test me and find that this is true. I am the one who's able to give you what the 23rd Psalm promises, and that's because I am Yahweh. I am God in flesh. I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And then in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, which just precedes this is good. We don't have to read it together. I just want to point some things out to you. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all those who came before me, they're thieves and robbers. And the sheep did not listen to them. The true sheep did not listen to them. But I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But let's read this together. I came so that they would have life and have it. How much? How much is abundantly? More than you need. More than you need. It's the same language that's used in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7, that he has lavished his grace and his mercy and his love upon you. This is good. This is good news. And I know most of you in this room say, yeah, I believe that, but are you standing in that reality? That's very different than just believing it. It's standing confidently in this truth. He is my shepherd. He is all I need. And even though the carpet may be, pulled from underneath my feet in life, and even though there may be a curveball thrown my way that just completely blindsides me in terms of a disease or the loss of a job or the failure of a marriage or whatever it may be, the one thing that does not change and will not change is that he is Yahweh and he is my shepherd. And what this psalm assures me of is that he will never let me go. He's never going to let me go. And if I wander, he's going to bring me back. He's going to bring me back. Why? Because I belong to him, and now he is mine. Again, David Gibson says this of the 23rd Psalm. This was helpful for me when I read this the first time. He said, the words are on the screen. He said, Psalm 23 is about abundant life. It is more about the happiness of living than the sadness of dying. Think about that. I said earlier, how often is this psalm used in the wake of the sadness of the death of a loved one? Appropriately so, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's about the happiness of living than the sadness of dying. And all of that and all of the happiness is bound up with being able to say that this Lord, who is a shepherd, is also my shepherd. Amen? Like, he's your shepherd. Like, if you're a Christian in this room, he's a shepherd. I don't mean by religion, you're a Christian by religion, but you are a Christian because you placed your faith and trust in Jesus. And in him you find life. You are fellowshipping with him, and he is fellowshipping with you. You are the one that doesn't have to worry about that day that is coming that will be true of so many who will say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? And did I not cast out demons in your name? And did I not do miracles in your name? And hear Jesus respond, depart from me, I never knew you. You never fellowshipped with me, I never fellowshipped with you. All you had was religion. But for those who have the shepherd, and for those whom the shepherd has, this psalm is for you. This psalm is for you. So there are some questions that you should ask yourself. Is he your shepherd? Because he is your Lord. And if he's your Lord, the answer to that question is yes. Is he your Lord? Because you have found in him to be the bread of life, who alone satisfies your hunger for more. You know, is he your shepherd? Because in Jesus you have found him to be the living water, who alone is able to quench your thirsty soul. Is he enough? Is he enough? Can you honestly say that the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need? And here's the fun thing about all this. Here's the fun thing about this. About just the Bible and the way God put his word together. In the 23rd Psalm, you have this description of the Lord as our shepherd. Another way you could describe this, if I were to, you know, create my own chapter heading, because chapter headings and verses aren't inspired by God, it's the words that are inspired by God. I would put something like this. I would put as the heading, the Shepherd King. He is my King who is my shepherd. But do you know what precedes Psalm 23? You're like, of course I do. It's Psalm 22. Yes. But even deeper than that, more than that. The very first verse in the 23rd Psalm begins with these words. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a messianic psalm. It's a psalm about the suffering king who died on the cross in your place and in my place. You know what proceeds the 23rd Psalm? You're like, yeah, Psalm 24. True. But it's also about the sovereign king. The sovereign king who's coming again, who will reign. He'll balance the scales of justice and he'll make all that is wrong with this world right. And sandwiched between the 24th Psalm and the 22nd Psalm is the 23rd Psalm, which is the shepherd who is our king. And this psalm is for any who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and whose allegiance is to that king, Jesus. I find that to be so comforting, and we're going to see this, like as we pick this passage apart, as we meditate on each verse each week, you're going to see some pretty awesome things. You'll kind of see where I'm going with the cross reference or the Psalm 23 and its parallels. But there's so much goodness here. Here are some other things I just want to point out to you. John chapter 10, in that whole chapter where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Later on, he says something about you, and he said something about me. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Speaking of us, he said, so I have my disciples, and I have those who will hear the gospel in each and every generation, and they are those who also belong to me. They are my sheep. I must also bring them, and they will listen to my what? They'll listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is how they know, or this is how I know who they are, and this is how they will know who I am. They listen to my voice. They listen to my voice. Which always forces me to think about the thing that Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It's the thing that I'm reminded of my own heart. Now, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And we'll get into that as we work through this passage, but The truth of the matter is that if Jesus is the one in whom you have placed your hope and trust in him as the suffering king, the king of Psalm 22, the one who died on a cross for your sins, and you know that what he accomplished was enough for your past, your present, and your future sins, then he is the shepherd king. He's your shepherd king. There's a very old catechism, and you don't need to know what a catechism is other than this. There are shorter catechisms. There's the Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith, and then there's the Heidelberg Catechism, which is a short catechism, and it was a teaching tool which would begin with a question, and then it would be followed with an answer, and it was a way of teaching God's people and the children who make up those churches from generation to generation, teach them important things about the doctrines of the Bible and who Jesus is and what it means to know God. And so the Heidelberg Catechism begins with a question, and it's this: what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is rich. And so I want us to read it together. So let's read it together. That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Isn't that good? That's almost 500 years old, that the Heidelberg Catechism is almost 500 years old. It's rich. And if that is true of you, if that is true of you, then the 23rd Psalm is your psalm. It's for you. It is meant to encourage and to inspire and to embolden you to live the life that God has called you to live. So we're going to have the worship team come up, and we're going to conclude with a newer song, but it's a song that's heavily influenced and inspired by the 23rd Psalm. But let's stand, and I just... As the worship team comes up, I just want us to read together, just as brothers and sisters in Christ, let's read together the 23rd Psalm, and the words will be on the screen. You ready? Let's do it. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to conclude with this song. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you for the 23rd Psalm. Thank you that psalm is for every follower of Jesus in this room and those watching the live stream. And that these truths and these promises are for us. But God, I just pray that over the weeks to come that we would just learn not just to recognize the truth of this psalm, but to stand and to walk in the reality of the truth of this psalm over our lives. That when you see us, you're not disgusted with your people. When you see us, you see the righteousness of your Son, the Good Shepherd. When you see us, you treasure what you see. When you see us, you see a daughter, you see a son, you see your children. And that is the truth. The enemy would like us to believe differently, but this psalm brings us back to the reality that you are our shepherd, and that that we are your children, and that we belong to you. And now, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you belong to us. We are yours. And for anyone in this room who has not yet placed their faith and trust in Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would just give them the ears to hear the truth of your word that says that all who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and who believe that you, O God, raised him from the grave, will be saved. That there is salvation found in no one else but the name of Jesus, the one who claimed truthfully that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except by him. And so now, as we listen to this song, as we sing this song over one another, as we sing this song to you, God, just allow these truths to settle upon our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Meadowbrook Church Podcast. For more information about our church, visit meadowbrook.org.